take this moment to, I don't have it in my slide, but just to, that I have no relevant disclosures or no financial interests in anything that I'm presenting today. So I am not evil. So I'm Nick Prashad. I'm the Director of Epidemiology for the Chicago Department of Public Health. And there's a couple of my colleagues I just want to acknowledge in the audience. Jamie Dirksen, Managing Deputy Commissioner, who is really leading this charge that I'm be talking about in terms of our Healthy Chicago 2.0 agenda. And Margarita Reyna, one of our epidemiologists, who was instrumental in doing a lot of the development of the indicators. So I just want to kind of get an idea of the audience. How many of you either don't work or not from Chicago? Oh, wow. Okay. So not a lot of locals. This is good. So I'm going to offer the local perspective, kind of bring the DHHS level down to the local health department. And I want to take the opportunity to welcome you to Chicago, one of the most segregated and divided cities in the country. Despite our beauty, we do have a lot of ugliness in our underbelly. If you look at life expectancy rates in Chicago, just if you take the Green Line three stops south from here, you'll be at a life expectancy in that community of less than 70 years old. And if you take the Green Line four stops north of here, you will be upwards of in the high 80s. So we have almost a 20-year life expectancy within difference within just seven L stops. And actually, our commissioner will be doing a presentation sort of hallmarking that data later today, so look for that. So we really want to sort of focus on, you know, we know that we are a segregated city, and the segregation by race and class and socioeconomic status really is what drives health disparities and health inequity. So as a health department, we really want to address that and do something about it. So a lot of what I'm going to talk about today is framed under our upcoming agenda, which is known as Healthy Chicago 2.0. It's a citywide agenda for the public health system and the health systems of Chicago to address, specifically address health inequity. So we have our vision statement. You have to have a vision in order to move forward. So in order to start the quest to address health inequities, we start with data. Our data comes from three sort of general domains: the population data, the health data, and social determinant data. So kind of touch on mostly on the health and the social determinant part of the agenda. So we monitor about 160 health indicators that many of you are very familiar with. These indicators come from natality, mortality data, hospitalization data, emergency department discharge data, as well as our federal partners and their behavioral surveys like the BRFSS and the YRBS. You know, our goal is really to use data that that addresses local issues. And I was just talking to Jim before this presentation how they're trying to get down to the county level, and we're trying to get down to the neighborhood level. And there's a lot of challenges in trying to understand the health of communities that way. But one tool that we've recently developed in an effort to do this is we sort of took the BRFIS model and created our own telephone random digit dial population-based survey known as the Healthy Chicago Survey. And we have found since its implementation in 2014 that this survey is really going to really profoundly impact our ability to monitor a lot of these social determinants that that we want to move to beyond just reporting and monitoring health outcomes. So the Healthy Chicago Survey, our first report for that is actually coming out in just a week or two. So if you're interested, stay tuned for that. But with this survey, we'll be able to sort of look at BRFIS level indicators at a community area level, so sort of at a neighborhood level in Chicago, which is really going to be, I think, an important step forward. So of the 160 or so health indicators that we normally monitor, I wanted to sort of frame this talk, since I'm with my DHHS Healthy People 2020 colleagues, around the Healthy People 2020 indicators, and specifically around the leading health indicators. So nationally, there are 26 leading health indicators that HP 2020 sort of uses as a core of its monitoring. So the trouble with local data is that you can't replicate necessarily those data exactly at a local level. So of the 26 national indicators, we are able to identically replicate 16 of them, which is actually probably, I think, pretty good for most jurisdictions. And I think a lot of that is due to our new Healthy Chicago survey. So of these 16 surveys, I sort of wanted to show you Chicago level numbers compared to the national rate. And, you know, as these sort of citywide indicators go, we have indicators that, you know, the city is doing worse than the nation in terms of childhood vaccination, our infamous homicide rate, and our rates of infant mortality in the city. And then, of course, at citywide level, there are a number of indicators where Chicago is actually doing better. So people who report having a regular source of medical care, people who report visiting the dentist regularly, our suicide numbers are lower than the national average, our adult obesity levels are lower than the national average, and our adolescent smoking rates are considerably lower than the national average. So the leading health indicators is a great way to sort of frame our city in comparison to other jurisdictions and how health is happening for all Americans. But it doesn't necessarily help us in our implementation of a local plan to address health inequity. So we sort of use it as a jumping off point for then digging sort of deeper into our data. And sort of overall, our approach has been through looking at our data is that health inequity is time and time again related to place, socioeconomic status, and race, ethnicity. And so to address race, ethnicity in terms of developing an agenda around health inequity, this is three maps of Chicago looking at the distribution of the three major race, ethnicity groups. So from the left to right is Latinos, blacks, and whites. And you can see, sort of talking to my point of segregation, you can almost fit those three maps on top of each other without the purple colors touching, which is pretty remarkable. So in terms of racial disparities, I want to sort of just give you some examples of, you know, the racial disparities that exist in Chicago in relation to some of those leading health indicators. So, you know, we find racial disparities among and between the race ethnicity groups in Chicago. So in the upper left, you see the rates of people reporting having a usual source of medical care or a doctor that they call their own. And you can see sort of on the left, the rates of that indicator among Hispanics is lower than it is among blacks and whites. The upper right, you see the rate of binge drinking, and you see that non-Hispanic whites have higher rates of binge drinking compared to non-Hispanic blacks and Hispanics. And then the time trend graph on the lower portion of the screen, you see that homicide mortality among non-Hispanic blacks is substantially higher than homicide mortality among other race ethnicity groups. So this is the sort of first dimension of addressing health inequities and identifying priority populations by which we target for our health plan. But then, of course, we, you know, all came here to talk about social determinants of health. And in pursuit of understanding our health data better, we were able to assemble about 44 different indicators that we are calling social determinants of health across many different categories related to crime, education, economic hardship, neighborhood built environment, and homelessness and marginalized populations. So we looked at a lot of social determinants data and looked at our health data through this social determinant lens to sort of see how we could, you know, how this data could help us sort of target by place, by race, or by socioeconomic status. So one thing that we found to be very helpful is sort of, instead of looking at the social determinants sort of individually against health indicators, we like the idea of sort of combining these social determinants into these indices that sort of described the city. And so we adapted the Economic Hardship Index, which was developed by the Rockefeller Institute about 20 or so years ago. And it's a way of looking at, readily available federal American Community Survey census data. And the great thing about it is that it's available at the census tract level. So we can, the way DHHS is trying to get to the county, we're trying to get to the census tract as our unit of measurement. So being able to understand sort of, neighborhood level differences in economic hardship were very key in sort of laying the foundation for our health agenda. So the Economic Hardship Index takes into account dependency, so vulnerable populations, young and old, level of crowded housing, poverty, per capita income, unemployment, and no high school graduation. And just as an example, we looking at our health indicators against the hardship index, a dramatic example of the infant mortality being more than twice as high among the high hardship communities, which is the bar on the right, compared to the lowest hardship communities. So by understanding where hardship exists in Chicago, by the map on the right, you'll see the dark green being the highest hardship areas, and the areas where there's no green are the lowest hardship areas. You can sort of see where you might target initiatives related to infant mortality. All told, we found that high hardship strongly correlates with a number of measures, and the measures in red are measures that are coincide with the leading health indicator series. So showing the value of those, picking those leading health indicators, of inadequate prenatal care, which relates to preterm birth, smoking rates, vegetable consumption, physical activity, obesity, homicide, and infant mortality. And then a second social index that we developed along with Brandeis University and the Kerwin Institute, known as the Child Opportunity Index. This is another census tract level measure of 21 different neighborhood components in the three categories of educational components, health and environmental, and economic. So when we read Dolores Acevedo Garcia's article in Health Affairs about a year ago, which is when we were starting to sort of think about how to envision our Healthy Chicago 2.0 agenda, when we came across this article and this sort of approach to understanding neighborhood level determinants, we were very sort of excited, and it really has served as a foundation for our understanding of health. So the educational components deal with a lot of the kind of data that Carter alluded to in sort of how DHHS is developing social determinants across the nation. A lot of attention paid to early childhood education participation and quality of early childhood education at the census tract level, reading and math proficiency rates. In terms of health and environment, the proximity of grocery stores, toxic waste release sites, open space available to people, housing vacancies, and proximity to healthcare. And then the economic components, which include neighborhood foreclosure, of course, poverty, unemployment, public assistance rates, and proximity to employment centers. So the geographic approach is really powerful to understanding and prioritizing health. So just looking sort of at one example of how we looked at child opportunity, we looked at a bivariate relationship between diabetes mortality at the census, at the community area level, and the child opportunity score. And you can see that it's a pretty moderately strong correlation between diabetes mortality rates and communities that have less opportunity as you move to the right on the child opportunity score. So I just want to point out that in developing this index, these index data are sort of weighted so that you can make comparisons across neighborhoods in Chicago. So they're weighted by population characteristics. So child opportunity, what we found in our analyses was that less child opportunity in a neighborhood is strongly correlated with higher levels of fatal and non-fatal shootings, elevated blood level rates, obesity in children, life expectancy at birth, diabetes and diet-related mortality, and teen birth rate. So we took all this data, and so you know you can compile data and talk about inequity all you want, but the point of this Healthy Chicago 2.0 plan is to actually do something about it. So what we did was we took all this data, compiled this data, disseminated it to the community, did town hall meetings, presented the data. The community decided that there were 9 areas where we should prioritize the plan. So in these 9 areas, there were action teams developed made up of community members, stakeholders, et cetera, who sort of digested and thought about this data a lot and were charged with coming up with goals and strategies to address these particular health conditions and sort of root causes of poor health inequity. And this effort was done in partnership with what we call the Partnership for Healthy Chicago. It's a group of about 80 different organizations that cross multi-sectors and not on all necessarily health-based. They come from business community, medical and legal partnerships, social service, planning, policy. So this was a very crucial and important group in synthesizing the data and coming up with the strategies. So overall, in the Healthy Chicago 2.0 plan, we came up with, this group came up with 25 goals across those 9 areas, 82 measurable objectives. And of the 82 measurable objectives, 9 of them were actually Healthy People 2020 health indicators. So these were, after processing the data and identifying areas of inequity, whether it's a neighborhood geographic inequity or race-based inequity or social economic-based inequity, these groups sort of came up with these 82 different measurable objectives. So I just want to show the 9. Looking at rate of health insurance, rate of being insured, rates of people being having a regular source of medical care, and colorectal cancer screening, which you can see those 3 indicators. The equity focus is around the Hispanic population in Chicago, and you can see sort of the rate of these indicators compared to the city average. You can see lower rates of medical insurance, lower rates of having a doctor, and much lower rates of colorectal screening. And to be as bold as Carter mentioned, we actually set targets for this agenda, so coming up with targets that in 4 years we hope to meet. The homicide objective, so you can see in Chicago the 13.7, the rate of homicide mortality is 13.7, but among black males it's 72.4, so this is a clear area where community groups and stakeholders felt we needed to develop objectives and strategies. So, and then infant mortality, adult obesity, and cigarette smoking are all found to be higher in high hardship neighborhoods. So those were the areas of equity focus for those particular areas. And then binge drinking higher among white males, and cigarette smoking among adolescents higher among LGB. So those 2 groups will be focused on for addressing inequity. So the idea of using the health indicator. So in addition to these 9 health leading health indicators, there's 73 other objectives that are definitely included in the Healthy People 2020, but are not leading health indicators. So of these, in these objectives, we came up with about 216 strategies. Many of these strategies are very cross-cutting strategies, meaning that if we make an effect in one, if we actually implement and effectively implement one strategy, it'll have an effect across multiple domains of health. All of them involve multi-sector partnerships, and in this effort, we became very deeply engaged with our city, sister city agencies, meaning transportation, environment, planning and development, business affairs, park district, etc. So just sort of to walk you through how the strategies were developed, we have, so in the area of violence prevention, we established a goal of decreasing exposure to violence and strengthening community factors with the objective of reducing gun-related homicide by 10% among black males by 2020. And then develop strategies around those areas. And for, if you look at these strategies, you can, it's clear that they're going to take multi-sector implementation. These are not things that the health department can do on their own in terms of identifying youth in public schools who may be at higher risk of being involved in violence, doing post-homicide incidents debriefing. It will involve police department, EMTs, hospitals, etc., and then conducting positive hotspot loitering. So that's to promote that kind of effort, we'll take engagement with neighborhood groups and other stakeholders. In the action area of community development, our objective to increase the percentage of people on the far south side of the city who walk or bike or take public transportation. We want to promote the implementation of the pedestrian plan and complete streets approach, which is if there's any road construction, that a new road can't be built unless it meets sort of a certain level of pedestrian access, bike access, sort of curb characteristics, etc. So these are sort of strategies that clearly have multi-sector implementation. So just to look at the sectors that we have involved in the in the buy-in of this plan, we've been working hard to sort of get buy-in from the mayor's office as well as, like I said, CHA and Housing Authority and Park District, planning and development, transportation, etc. So the next steps are to release this plan in December 2015. The implementation will take place in, starting in January 2016, where the action teams will reconvene and sort of develop detailed work plans on how to actually implement these strategies. And then, of course, our role as health department will be to track progress using these 82 objective metrics that we've developed. And as part of that, we will sort of disseminate annual updates and update indicators and action area work plans as needed. So we look forward to, when you come back to Chicago, we look forward to presenting you with a healthier and more beautiful city. So thank you.